And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Horse and His Riders, written by Joseph Mindell.
You've wasted enough time. Let the proceedings begin.
Preparations always seem long, but we are ready now. Bring the first witness. You know the purpose of this investigation?
I do.
Then put it out of your mind. You will be asked questions. Just answer them fully and exactly. You are the clerk in charge of records.
Chief clerk, if you please. Head of the Department of Records.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Now, I ask you to state as accurately as you can the total...
So, the generals are afraid to show their faces. They send a wrinkled old scribbler of words to talk for them.
The generals will speak for themselves later. But first, there are facts that must be made known.
I know the facts. I know what has happened. I want an explanation and an accounting.
It is not certain... I mean no disrespect. It is not certain that we know all the facts. Besides, those who come after us will know what we know.
I am not concerned with history.
All the same, history will deal with us, one way or another. It is better for your sake that the record be complete and clear.
Ramat, you talk too much.
It runs in the family. Your predecessor, the pharaoh my father served, used to say the same to him. If I may be permitted to proceed.
Go on, go on. Only remember, I will deal with those responsible for the situation.
When they are discovered. Is the witness ready?
Ready, sir.
Good. Tell us first the total number of those who left Egypt.
By the most recent count, something over 600,000 Hebrews, men, women, and children, together with their herds, flocks, and other possessions, having an estimated value...
Give the figure to the clerk for the record, and give him also the value of the labor performed by the Hebrew people in building tombs, granaries, and other structures, as well as the total of their taxes paid.
What are you trying to prove, Ramat? That the Hebrews were a valuable possession? I know it. Why do you think I was reluctant to let them go?
Perhaps we also need to know why they wanted so much to leave.
Enough. Stop arguing.
Who will argue with the Pharaoh?
The battle, Ramat. Get to the battle.
As you wish. I will lay the groundwork by the same witness. You have the records of the armed forces of Egypt?
I have all the records.
Good. How many troops were committed to the pursuit of the Hebrews?
All 600 chariots of the Special Corps, as well as all reserve chariots and men.
How many returned from the Red Sea?
Well, everybody knows that. A handful came back.
That's not a responsive answer.
Well, what can I tell you? They're still straggling in.
You have a preliminary count.
20 chariots have returned. Maybe 30. 1,000 men.
Aye, it is worse than I thought. I no longer have an army, Ramat.
The testimony is not yet complete, Pharaoh. I have an eyewitness account by a survivor.
I want to hear that from my generals.
Generals are seldom close enough to see for themselves. Bring the next witness. You are a captain of charioteers?
Yes, sir. I am. I was in command of a platoon of 12 chariots with the usual complement of cavalry and infantry.
Now, I want you to describe the battle as you saw it.
There was no battle, sir.
I'll put the question another way. Just tell us in your own words about the fighting.
Yes, sir, but there was no fighting.
What do you mean, no battle, no fighting?
If you please, it will come out in the question.
Did my soldiers fall over their own feet and break their necks? Huh? Speak up, speak up!
We will learn nothing by frightening him. Captain, tell us how it happened.
We were... my division was the last in line. When we came up, it was dark.
The man talks nonsense. It was midday.
A screen of thick, oily smoke hid them from us and covered the sky over us. Through the smoke, on the other side, you could see a great light like a pillar of fire. But where we were, it was dark. Darker than the midnight of Osiris. Dark as the tomb.
Relax, Captain. It's over now.
Even the horses were afraid. Neither the whip nor the goad could make them move. Then the smoke thinned and blew away. And there in the distance, we saw them. We saw the Hebrews at the edge of the sea.
What then? Go on, go on.
The horses flew. All the power of Egypt flew down upon the Hebrews. The power of Egypt!
Captain!
Your pardon, sir.
You had them trapped. What happened then, Captain?
Riding like the wind, closer every instant, but still far away, we felt a wind come out of the east. And we saw how the wind raised waves high in the sea, higher, higher, until the waves mounted into two high walls, and the waters parted. And the Hebrews walked on dry land across the Red Sea. And the power of Egypt... All the power of Egypt.
Finish what you have to tell.
We rode into the bottom of the sea, between two black walls of water, and the walls fell together with a rage of thunder and swallowed Egypt into the dark.
Wake up, Ramat. Wake. Oh, you couldn't sleep either.
I think it will be many nights before I sleep again.
Come with me. I want to talk to Mut, my commander-in-chief.
But he is preparing to testify tomorrow.
I know it, and I know him. He will come with a donkey load of records and excuses. That's not what I want. Come.
It's the middle of the night. Why can't it wait until morning?
Because history does not wait, my historian.
But
look, Ramat. Look and tell me what you see.
It's only your hand. A man's hand.
No. It is the power of all the pharaohs of Egypt, accumulated over centuries and gathered together into one mighty hand. In one day, the might is destroyed. And I do not know how or why. One day, Ramat. Can I wait another day? I want an explanation, Mut.
What can I say? Pharaoh knows what I know.
What do I know? You commanded my army, the most powerful army in the world, against a rabble of unarmed slaves. And now you are a general without an army.
That is unfairly put. They fled. We pursued, but we never caught them.
Yet you were destroyed.
Not by force of arms.
You're quibbling. Who is responsible? Who? Stop sulking like a child. I want a direct answer to a simple question.
I am a soldier. When Pharaoh commands, I obey. If you order me to accept responsibility...
Idiot! I'm trying to understand what happened.
Who can explain darkness under the sun at midday? Or winds that raise walls of water? But some things are easier to understand.
What things? Say what you mean.
I do not presume to instruct Pharaoh.
What? Your delicacy approaches insolence. Speak your mind.
I have a simple soldier's mind, Pharaoh. I remember how the Hebrews were in the land of Egypt under the eyes and the whips of your overseers. And surrounded everywhere by my soldiers.
Your soldiers, but...
Your figure of speech. I also remember how 600,000 Hebrews safely guarded in Egypt were permitted to go out
your
and...
Your simple soldier's logic is too slow. I will finish it for you. If I had not let them go, if I had not sent you to bring them back, then all would have been well.
And therefore the responsibility is not yours. Is that it, Mutt?
I did not say it. Ramat, I call you to witness. The words were not mine.
Leave Ramat out of this. You know what happened before I let the Hebrews go. You know the pressures and the plagues. How would you have decided?
I know how to organize a cavalry charge and when to send the chariots into battle, but I am not Pharaoh. Such decisions are not for me to make.
Evasions and excuses. Yes, I decided. But when I asked the advice of my council, you did not disagree, Mut. And you, Ramat, you were silent.
When something happens for the first time, it is difficult to know what is right.
You, too, are cautious, Ramat.
No, only slow to understand. Now I know what advice I would have given.
Now it is too late.
Maybe not. Maybe the question is still the same. Why should they want to go out of Egypt?
What difference does it make? Stick to the point.
Maybe that is the point. Why should a multitude of people want to leave the land in which they have lived for generations to go out into the wilderness? Why?
Because they were bewitched. Because the man Moses turned their heads with talk and promises.
Ah.
What's the matter with you, Mutt? What do you mean? Ah.
I mean, with Moses, you come closer home.
I'm tired of your cumbersome subtleties.
You have asked many questions of many people and made accusations. Finally, you think of Moses. Then is there not another who should testify?
Speak plainly, I say. Who?
Your sister, the Princess Butcher.
Is this why you sent for me in the middle of the night?
You don't deny it.
My dear brother, it should be clear from what happened today that Moses needed no help from me.
You defend him?
No. I state a fact.
You protected him from the day you brought him to the palace.
Of course. Growing up in the royal household is dangerous before the heir is chosen. Or afterwards.
Even after he killed the Egyptian overseer, you hid him until he could run away to Midian.
Oh, excuse me, my sleep was interrupted. Do I have your permission to retire?
You were in touch with him in Midian during all those years. You thought I didn't know that?
Do you think it mattered to me what you knew? He was my son.
No. He was a foundling you saved from the river in defiance of the law, in defiance of the Pharaoh, my father.
He was also my father. And Pharaoh's daughter is not bound by the law.
I am Pharaoh now. Your position is no longer so elevated.
So that's how it is. An unmarried sister is an encumbrance easy to get rid of. Well, then call your guard. Call them and finish it quickly.
I don't want to quarrel with you. I'm troubled about you.
You are frightened.
You don't understand. I lost an army today.
I lost Moses, who was like my son. But it was long ago, and the pain grows less.
I'm not angry with you, Batya. It was his doing.
You were always like this, even when we were children. You're frightened, and you look for someone to blame.
It's true. His words, his deceiving talk, persuaded the Hebrews to go out of Egypt.
Can one man talk to 600,000? And if he can, do they hear and respond? Yes, the beginning of the response is already on their lips.
You still defend him.
And you still not have learned. Does Moses have need of me when his help comes from a source mightier than Pharaoh's army?
I did not mean to make you angry. Look at me, Basha. Don't you see, I need your help.
It was never easy to help you. Besides, I do not understand either. I keep thinking, if I had not saved Moses from the reeds, if there had been no Moses, no Aaron, would there be someone else to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt?
If it was inevitable, then...
And no one is responsible? But maybe it was inevitable because of what was done, or left undone.
Done by whom? You mean me, don't you?
Why did you send your army after the Hebrews?
A stupid question. Does a man willingly give up possessions of great value?
You have wasted the labor of thousands to build palaces you've never even seen. You've thrown away other armies in useless wars. It's
different.
Yes. Yes, I think it is different. You are afraid of the Hebrews, as our father was afraid.
You're talking nonsense. Is Pharaoh afraid of a slave?
I have seen how Moses spoke to you. It is how I imagined Joseph long ago. Was it 500 years, 1,000? How he spoke to another ancient Pharaoh.
What? Did Joseph also stammer like your Moses?
They spoke to Pharaoh as men, not as slaves to a master. And therefore, you are afraid.
I've kept you long enough, Batya.
Those you fear, you also hate. And you...
You may go now, Batya.
When I have said what you must hear, you set your feet in the path of inevitability and took one step after another. Out of fear, you made laws. Out of fear, you gave whips to your overseers. Out of fear and hate, you refused to let the Hebrews go out of Egypt.
Enough, I say, enough!
It is enough. I have given you little comfort, Pharaoh, my brother.
Have them bring the torches closer, Ramat. I cannot see.
Captain, you heard.
Yes, sir.
What did you hope to see here in the dwelling place of the Hebrews?
They left things behind, see? Dough on the oven, unleavened.
They were hurrying to go out of Egypt. It is possible to say that they had reason to hurry.
All right, Ramat, all right. You don't have to say everything that's possible. Now, what's this? A child's rattle.
If I knew what you were looking for, why you came here...
You always know so much. Don't you know that, too?
Maybe I do. It's a dead place now. But when they were in the midst of preparing to leave...
You were here, Ramat?
It was different then. Somehow filled with beginnings. And things to come.
I can imagine. My name was on every tongue together with a curse.
No, they did not curse your name.
How considerate. Or were they too busy composing songs of jubilation?
Not that either. Moses spoke to the people, and they listened. I listened too.
Well, go on.
I do not know how to tell you. There was much that I did not understand. But he said to them, "Remember this day and tell your children and your children's children so that all the generations may remember what happened here."
What happened? Did he tell them?
They knew, Pharaoh. They did not need to be told.
I want to be told. See, I am like a child with a child's rattle in my hand. Ramat, what did happen?
I can answer for myself. But not for you.
Why must you always complicate things? I asked a simple question.
Then you know the answer. For you were the beginning and the end. All that happened came from you.
Yes. We can go back now.
I'll have them bring the horses.
Captain. Wait. Look, Ramat. A man's hand, you said. A man could turn it. He could... close his hand or open it.
Captain.
Wait, I said. See how steady I hold my hand. I dare not move it. Do you know why?
There are times when I know only what Pharaoh tells me.
Don't humor me. Listen, Ramat. Yesterday, or was it the day before, if I flicked a finger, 10,000 soldiers marched into battle. If I waved my hand, 100 towns were destroyed or spared, and 10 times 10,000 people lived or died. Now I dare not move a finger.
Because you are afraid it is only a man's hand?
Life and death still rest in it.
Do you doubt it?
I will not make the test. Yet, your army is wiped out.
What does that matter? There is another army, a dozen others. Now, there is no value in them if each can be destroyed in a day. There is no safety until I know what happened yesterday and how and where we made mistakes.
I might suggest... No.
There is still one place in which I have not looked. Captain, bring the horses. We have a long way to go by morning.
We should start back before the sun gets too high.
There is still time, Kevin.
Then I will wait back there where we left the horses.
Wait here. Farrell may want you.
I do not think so, sir. He only stands at the edge of the sea, staring. I am uneasy here, sir.
Yes, I feel it too.
I showed him the tracks of the wheels where the chariots went into the water.
What did he say?
Nothing. He barely lowered his eye to look. Why did he make me bring him here? What's wrong, sir? What did I say?
Does a captain of charioteers question what Pharaoh does or why?
I only meant...
You do not know what you meant. Just be careful of what you say.
Ramat? Ramat, it seems to me that I smell the smoke they described.
I thought so too, Pharaoh. It's only imagination.
Is it? Captain, don't you smell it also?
The sea is narrow here, and the Hebrews are camped on the other side.
Where? I don't see them.
They are too far to see. But the wind blows the smoke of their campfires.
A wind from the east.
If Pharaoh is ready now.
I was told an east wind blew when Moses returned from Midian.
It is of no significance.
I suppose not. I only happen to remember.
If you please, I'll bring the horses...
Still, Captain, I'll tell you when I'm ready.
He's right, Pharaoh. It's time to go back. There's more testimony to be heard.
No more, Ramat. The investigation is over.
Is it wise to drop it now? The people will think...
I am not concerned with what the people think. It is finished. I know where the responsibility lies.
Do you?
For a time, I forgot what it means to be Pharaoh. But now I have remembered what my responsibility is.
You really do? There is still hope.
I was weak, and I faltered. Listen, Ramat. Does the sun, when strange winds blow, when earthquakes shake the mountains, does the sun in the sky falter?
You are a man, ruling over men.
I am Pharaoh. Should Pharaoh debate with any man or bargain with slaves? When Moses stood before me and Aaron spoke for him, for the meek little man with a stammering tongue, I listened. That was the mistake.
What did you hear?
Responsibility is mine. The whip were not enough, and the sword was the answer. The answer was not in words, but with a mighty hand.
Yet the hand was destroyed.
Because I listened and I let them go.
When you listened, what did you hear?
Do I have to tell you? You were there beside me.
I also failed to hear, because I did not think to ask.
I've had enough of questions, Ramat.
Yet there is one that must be answered. Or what happened here in one day will happen again and again.
No, never again.
Long ago, Joseph came to Egypt and all his brothers and their father Jacob, and they lived here.
Because there was famine in their own country.
Famine does not last for generations. Yet they were content to live among us. Then why were they no longer content? Why did they go out of Egypt?
The same question again.
You still do not ask it?
I do not ask a horse if he likes being a horse.
But even Pharaoh is forced to ask if a man likes being a slave.
Be careful, Ramat. There are limits, even for you. You speak out of remorse or guilt, I don't know which. But you are absolved, Ramat. I have acknowledged responsibility.
Only for being Pharaoh. But for what happened, not only yesterday, I share your responsibility. And what also? And your generals, and overseers, and all those who ran with swords down to the Red Sea.
Listen.
All of us, Pharaoh.
Listen, do you hear it?
Well, what is it, Captain?
It was... I thought I heard singing. The singing of many voices.
I hear nothing.
Sing ye to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They sang, and then suddenly, in the middle of a word, it ended. Why did they stop?
You heard nothing. It was in your mind. I'm ready to go now, Captain. Bring the horses.
The horse and his rider hath he thrown... Oh.
My hand will help you to remember, Captain. You heard nothing. Do you understand?
I understand, Pharaoh.
You see, Ramat, my hand is again the mighty hand of Pharaoh. I'm sure you also understand.
Only as in a dim light. But it is a beginning.
I'm tired of your long face and your sad voice. If you have something to say, say it.
I have been close to Pharaoh, so that I too have lived by Pharaoh's mighty hand. Now in my mind's thoughts are strange, no longer terrifying. The words have a strange sound in my mouth. They say themselves, as if I were hearing them, as you hear them.
I hear nothing. What words?
Justice. Mercy. I think I will come to understand them. But for now, it may be enough to know another thing. Listen, Pharaoh. Whoever lives by the might of his hand must find one day, soon or late, that there is a mightier hand than his.
It is told that the children of Israel, delivered from bondage by an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, passed over the Red Sea and camped on the other side. And Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and the people went after her with timbrels and with dancing.
Sing ye to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider hath he cast into the sea.
And it is told how the angels, seeing the walls of water fall upon the pursuing Egyptians, also wished to sing for joy. But the Lord reproved them, saying, "The works of my hands are perishing. How can ye wish to sing?" If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our eternal light drama today, The Horse and His Rider, was written by Joseph Mindell. Canta David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Bernard Lenro, Louis Van Ruten, Alan Bergman, Roger DeCoven, Mitzi Gould, and Maurice Tarplin. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program was directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.